You're listening to the AHDB podcast, farming news and stories from across the UK.
Hello and welcome to today's podcast. I'm Steve West and today we're going to talk about cows and more specifically how they think and react to what is around them. It's a really common story on farms. You'll always say, I'm going to quickly move the dry cows, I'll quickly bring those heifers in. Can you quickly go and footbath the cows and calves? But we all know, don't we, the process is rarely quick. In fact, it almost always takes longer than we expect. Now today I'm joined by Professor Temple Grandin from Colorado State University to ask her why cows don't do what we want them to do. So welcome, Temple.
It's great to be here.
So quite simply, Temple, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to start working with cattle?
Well, I'm a professor of animal science at Colorado State University, and I get asked all the time, how did I get involved in the cattle industry? Because I originally came from a non-ag background. Well, I got exposed to cattle when I visited my aunt's ranch. And that's how a lot of young people today are getting involved. I mean, we have students coming into our animal science department that find out they really like cattle. They take the animal science just for the prerequisite for the vet school, and then they discover there's all kinds of interesting cattle careers that they can do that they didn't know about. So it's really important that students get exposed to things because that's what they can get interested in. Some of the first work I did with cattle was to look at what they were seeing when they were going through a raceway to get vaccinated. And things we tend to not notice, like shadows would make them stop, or a coat on a fence, or a little paper cup or something like that on the floor. Things that we would tend to not notice, the cattle notice. And if you remove these distractions, they'll often move a lot more easily. My student, Dennis Wilson, just finished up a study where he kept track of whether it was a sunny day or a cloudy day. And when it was a really bright sunny day and you had harsh, sharp contrast shadows around an unloading area, there was a lot more balking compared to cloudy day or where there was this very, very small shadow.
I see. Gosh, that's a fascinating insight. So we all notice, I think, with cattle, when we're running them up a race, they sometimes stop, and that's frustrating, and sometimes they go too fast and jump on top of each other. What is it that we're doing wrong?
Well, the first thing to do is to get distractions out, and it's very important that when a new heifer is first introduced to the milking facility, that this is a good first experience. Because if she has a bad first experience, like maybe falling on her butt, first day that she goes in there to be milked, she's not going to want to go in there again. Let's make those first experiences really good. Now, when I first started working with both beef and dairy cattle in the 70s, we used to feed them in the parlor. Then the industry went through a phase of taking out feeding in the parlor. I think that was a mistake. Now, with the robotic feeders, yes, they totally are fed in the robotic feeder. But be patient with heifers. Good stockmanship matters. Whole bunch of research that shows that if animals are afraid of people, they're going to give you less milk and less weight gain.
Brilliant. Thank you, Temple. So, Temple, how do you recognize what a cow is thinking and how she's feeling?
First thing you want to do is, especially if you're moving the cattle, is what are they looking at? There may be a shadow, especially on a sunny day, and you get a really harsh shadow, and the lead cow will stop and put her head down to look at the shadow. Give her a chance to bring that head back up. Don't try to push her when she's got her head down looking at the shadow. Wait until she brings the head back up. Then you can try to move her. We need to get a lot more observant of what they're looking at, what they're reacting to. Somebody is really a good stock person. They're a good observer. In my class, I'm trying to train my students to be better observers. And so I asked them to write on the discussion board some things they observed with their pets. I've been getting some very, very good observations.
So a good observer is a good characteristic for somebody who's working with cattle. But what other characteristics really should people have when working with cattle?
Well, there was an old study years ago done by a scientist named Seabrook. And Seabrook found that the confident introvert was the best person working with a dairy cow. Somebody that's calm. And then you get other people get all excited. But the first step is, people working with cattle need to be calm. And then when you learn how to be calm, there's a lot of good stockmanship things you can learn, like the point of balance, for example. One mistake you want to avoid is standing at the head of an animal and then taking a driving tool like a plastic paddle or a flag and touching her on the butt with it. Because if you stand in front of her head and touch her butt, you're telling her to go forward and back at the same time. That doesn't work. Now, people are getting much better in handling, and fewer people are making these mistakes. But there was a survey recently done in the U.S. within the last 2 years, and about 30% of the stock people were standing in front of cattle and poking them on the butt. And the other 70% were doing it right. So what that shows is that a lot of stockmanship training classes that we have are working, because that would not have been true, you know, 10 years ago. So the cattle handling has definitely improved.
I see. Well, that's fascinating. And so what would we do? What would be your advice to people if things do go wrong, if the cows do break out, or they're going down the road, or you need to move some cattle fairly urgently?
Well, let's say they've broken out and they've gone down the road. The worst thing you can do is to chase them. We had an incident happen on our campus. It was almost funny. A single heifer trained to lead with a halter and a lead rope got out of a stock pavilion we had on campus. It was loose on campus, and the campus police chased it and made it completely crazy. And animals have a tendency to move towards the light. And she ran through a glass door into one of the student housing accommodations. Then the dorm proctor locked her in a student's room, which she wrecked. Now, this is not how to handle it. I said, I'm serious, this actually happened. I'm making it up.
Gosh, yeah, no, well, I think there'll be a lot of people who can relate to that.
Now, if the police had just gotten on the edge of her flight zone and waited and then called somebody that knew that heifer, they could have just put a lead rope on her and led her away. But they chased her and made her completely crazy. See, that's what you don't do.
Absolutely.
And if they just stood just outside the flight zone, she would have just quietly grazed on the quad until the student that had, you know, trained that heifer could have put on a lead rope and just led her back.
I see.
This was an example of everything done wrong that you possibly could do wrong, and with almost comical consequences. And nobody was hurt. The heifer wasn't hurt, but the glass door was broken, and the student's belongings were completely trashed.
I think a lot of people will relate to that, Temple. So, Temple, how can you get an animal to willingly go through a handling system?
Well, one of the best things to do with new heifers is to let them just walk through for practice. Now, the research is starting to show now that we should put back in feeding in the parlor. They're going to be a lot more willing to go in there if they're fed in there. And you do a few practice runs where you don't milk her, that's going to help her to go in there. And the same thing can be done with beef cattle. You walk them through the facility, you don't catch their heads, and then, you know, feed them some treats. It's very important that an animal's first experience with a handling facility, whether it's a milking parlor or a vaccination facility, is a good first experience. If the first experience is a bad first experience, they're not going to want to go in there again. We've got to make sure you got good non-slip flooring, because it can be very scary for cattle slip sliding around on the floor.
What areas are the most common places people go wrong with handling cattle, beef and dairy?
Well, the first mistake is getting mad and yelling and screaming. The first step is you have to calm down. Cannot emphasize that enough. And if the cattle get scared and upset, it takes 20 minutes to 30 minutes for them to calm back down. So that might be a good time to take a break. It's important for people to understand flight zone and point of balance. And the big mistake a lot of people make when there's an animal in a single file race is to stand in front of the head and then take a paddle or a flag and poke it on the butt. And that's a big mistake, because you're telling your animal to go forward and back at the same time. And that's very basic. And sometimes people have said to me, well, all I do is talk about basics. Well, even though stockmanship in the U.S. has really improved, we still have a need to teach basics. Like if you want it to go forward, get behind the point of balance in the shoulder, don't stand in front of it and poke it on the rear end. These are just some of the basic things. Another common mistake, and this is a big problem with beef cattle, is overloading the crowd pen that leads to the single file race, because good handling is going to require more walking. And the latest surveys done in the U.S. show that maybe 60-70% of the stock people are doing it right, but we still have 30% or a little bit more not doing it right. Now, that's a gigantic improvement compared to 10 years ago, but we still have to just talk about basics.
I see. So why is it that cattle respond differently to people on a motorbike or a quad bike, for example?
Well, cattle are visual animals. They're sensory-based thinkers. They don't think in words. Now, a person on a quad bike, both what it looks like and what it sounds like, is very different than a person walking. And so again, it's really important when you first introduce quad bikes that it's positive experience. But let's say you only handle them on a quad bike, and they never handled them on foot. They'd get scared when they saw a person on foot, because that would be a different picture. It's important to get cattle accustomed to both walking with a person and the quad bike, or in the U.S., Western ranches with a horse, so that they get used to all these things and they've learned that that's safe. And it's important that a person with a quad bike respects the flight zone, doesn't get them running. Sudden novelty is scary. Now, if you take a quad bike and I put it in the middle of the pasture, all the cattle would come up to it and look at it, because novelty is attractive if the animal can voluntarily approach, and it's frightening when it suddenly appears. So novelty is kind of a paradox here. It's both scary and attractive. Common problem with show cattle. People will say, well, my animal was just fine at home and she went completely crazy at the fair. Well, you've got a lot of things at the fair, like flags. So if you want to get your heifer or your dairy cow, you're going to show accustomed to flags. I'd decorate the pasture with flags and allow the animals to walk up and investigate those flags and get them used to different kinds of flags before they went to a show. But sudden novelty is scary. And it can sometimes be something simple. When I was a student, I worked in a dairy. And one day, one of the other students left a big yellow raincoat in the milking parlor, and the cattle wouldn't come in because that was something new.
I see. So, I mean, you talk about flags, and actually it's led me to think about the props that you might need when you're moving cattle, because of course we don't want to startle them, and people will often carry certain props when they're moving animals. What would be the must-haves, do you think, when you're moving stock?
Well, understanding the flight zone, understanding point of balance. If you're out on the pasture, you put pressure on the flight zone to make a move. But then when they go where you want them to go, then back off of the flight zone. You know, it's pressure and release. You know, don't keep just bearing down pressure on the flight zone, because that can get them running. Now, when it comes to driving aids, there are some people that are advocating, let's have no driving aids at all. Now, that can be made to work out in the pasture where you just don't even need a driving aid. But if you're in a situation inside, then you might need a flag on a little slender rod or something where you can reach and touch an animal. But everyone will agree, we've got to get rid of the yelling and the arm waving. That just is not the thing to do. And when you look at my talk that I've done with my slides and pictures, I can show you pictures showing the flight zone. I also have a lot of information on Grandin.com. It's my last name, Grandin.com. I've got a video library on there that has some of my videos, but it also has some other really good videos other people have made that I think are really good that show cattle handling.
Brilliant. Oh, well, thank you, Temple. And we'll put that link into the blurb on this podcast. Just to bring our conversation really to a bit of a close, what do you think would be the key three things that farmers could change to make cattle handling easier?
The first thing is you've got to calm down. Make sure that your new heifers, when they're introduced to the milking facilities, that is a good experience. I also cannot emphasize enough the importance of non-slip flooring. Animals panic and get scared when they start to slip. Now, those are very basic things. Understanding the flight zone point of balance is really important, but we've got to calm down. And here's just a little motto that I can leave you with. Slow is faster. Slow is faster. But it's going to take some practice and wanting to learn some of the really good low-stress handling techniques. There are a lot of people out there teaching this. And it may in the beginning be harder, but after you learn how to do it, you're going to find it really was the right thing to do.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Temple. And So I'm afraid our time has now come to an end. There's a huge number of resources on Temple's website, as she's mentioned before, on grandin.com. And we've got a number of our own resources on the AHDB website, along with Temple Grandin's webinar that we recorded several weeks ago, which you'll see on our YouTube channel. And there's a number of other resources on the internet there as well. I know Temple's been involved in TED Talks. So please do look these up, view the other content. And this is a podcast brought to you by HDB with many thanks from Temple Grandin. Thank you all and goodbye.